We have two scripture readings this morning. The first one comes from the Old Testament, from Psalm 64. So hear the word of the Lord. Hear my voice, O God. In my complaint, preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the throng of evildoers who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly and without fear.
They hold to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see them? They search out injustice, saying, we have accomplished a diligent search. For the inward mind and heart of the man are deep.
But God shoots his arrow at them. They are wounded suddenly. They are brought to ruin. With their own tongues turned against them, all who see them will wag their heads.
Then all mankind fears. They tell what God has brought about and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous one rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart exalt.
And now from the New Testament reading, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have a friend who is a pastor and a church planter. He is starting to plant churches. He's starting the Presbyterian Church in Norway. Because Norway doesn't have any Presbyterian church. They have Lutheran churches, they have some Baptist churches, but no Presbyterian churches until recently. And if you think we are post-Christendom here in the United States, we don't have anything on Norway. Norway has begun to go back in the culture to the pagan religions. They have begun to go back to worshiping the Norse gods, the young people in that country. And it's quite evident the things that are going on in that country. But he told me not long ago, his name is Matt Stanghelly, and Matt told me not long ago that after a worship service that they had had where there was some tension between one individual and the congregation that nobody really knew about. The officers knew, the pastor knew. But after that service, there was a woman who came up to him, one of the members in their church, and she said to him, she said, "Matt, I just want to tell you, I saw a demon in church." And Matt said that stood there, and he said, "Okay." And he's telling me this, and I said, "So, what do you think?" He said, "I think she saw a demon." Does that strike you as strange? Does it strike you as something that is fanciful, as something that is beyond your modern mindset to even think about? It doesn't surprise me. The president of El Salvador, I heard him in an interview not long ago. His name is Nayib Bukele, I think that's how you pronounce it. And he was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and Tucker Carlson was asking him about his success in several different levels, and he's apparently had a great deal of success in leading El Salvador, but particularly against the very violent and extremely brutal gang of El Salvador, of MS-13. And when he was talking to this president, he said, "How did you have success against them?" Because they had more success than anyone has had. They've almost completely driven MS-13 out of their country. And he looked at him, he said, "Officially?" And he said, "Yeah, okay, officially." And he said, "Well, we started enforcing the laws, and we started locking people up in prison. We gave our police and our army the ability to shoot and kill if they weren't able to arrest." And he said, "Unofficially, we prayed." He said, "Unofficially, we prayed." And Carlson was a little bit taken aback, and he said, "You did what?" He said, "You mean you prayed?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Me and my entire cabinet prayed, because we know the power that they are under. That they are under the power of Satan. They worship Satan. And we knew that we must pray that the Lord would conquer them." How does that strike you? Do you find yourself a little bit skeptical? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about what it means to be a supernaturalist and understand it from the Word of God. Before we go back to that passage in Mark, let's go before Almighty God, who is there, who truly hears and truly acts, and ask Him if He would do the supernatural work of Holy Spirit in us through His Word. Let us pray. Almighty God, We do come before you recognizing in faith that you hear your people when they pray, that you listen to us, that you incline your ear to us, and we thank you for that. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you that with all of the imperfections of our prayers, that you who know the heart and mind of God, you take our prayers and you perfect them into his throne room of grace. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are right now, even now, seated at your Father's right hand. And as your word tells us, we are seated in you, and that you intercede for us. So we come before you and we pray that you would do your work here. Take your word. Use it incisively into us and change us, that we would walk in obedience to you, that we would hear and apply your word rightfully. Would you look into our hearts and change us? In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So, are you an insecure, self-conscious, self-reliant supernaturalist? Perhaps you're a little perplexed by that title. After all, it would make more sense for us to say, you know, something like, are you an insecure, self-righteous, self-reliant, anti-supernaturalist? Right? But we're conflicted. We are conflicted. We are those who feel this insecurity in this world in which we find ourselves. We feel this self-consciousness about who we are in this world. But then again, we find ourselves being self-reliant on about how to get through it. You know, the normal things we do. The things we do to protect ourselves, the things we do to care for ourselves and all of this. And all the while we say, I am a supernaturalist. In other words, I believe that there is another realm, a realm in which God lives. There's a realm in which Satan and his minions are. But there is something that's different about us in this generation. You don't, there are a lot of people, more than you would think, who say, we don't really believe in Satan, you know, a devil, demons, come on. We're too sophisticated for that. C.S. Lewis said that we are guilty. We are guilty of chronological snobbery. That, in other words, we say all those people in the Bible, yes, they saw things that we know better about now that they thought were demons, thought were possessions, thought were works of Satan, and in actuality, we know better because we know things about mental illness, physical illness that they didn't know back then. And we think that we are more informed and more intelligent. Folks, that is not the witness of Scripture. The witness of Scripture is that there are demons. That if you were to be given a vision right now of that realm, we would all fall down and crumble up in fear. Look at your Scripture sheets. This is just a piece of the scriptural testimony to the existence of demons. Look at Mark 1, 22 through 27. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him, and they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 34. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And he went throughout, in Mark chapter 1, verse 39, and he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. Mark 6, 13, and they cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and healed them. Mark 7, 25 through 30. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour." Acts chapter 19. "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this.' But the evil spirit answered them, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?' And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." Folks, that's just a piece of the biblical evidence, and the scripture is replete with it. Demons are real. Satan is real. And you don't defeat those demons or Satan and his forces with the tools of men. Jesus has power. Jesus has shown that he has power. He is the one who has ordered demons to come out. He orders those to be gone. And we find ourselves conflicted. We say we believe in these things. We act like we believe on these things. And yet the old Dutch saying still stands true, that every man has two creeds. One which he says he believes, and one upon which he acts. And the one upon which he acts is what he really believes. Think about that. We say we believe in this God of this universe. We say we believe in the Holy Spirit. We say we believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, and I'm not doubting that we do. But then we turn around and we say, I don't really think, you know, there are so many mental illnesses right now that, and there are mental illnesses, not denying that. But look at the fruit. Look at the fruit in this world. Are we really going to stand back and say that this is not demonic? That this is not of Satan? How do we address it? I believe we should vote, but voting is not going to address demons. I believe that we should go and get medical care for those who need it. Absolutely. But going and getting medical care is not going to address demons. I believe that we should have the police. The police can't get rid of demons. They have no power. A bullet does not kill a demon. So how do we do it? By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the prayers of His people. I loved this with the president of El Salvador, and I don't know. He is a professing believer. He professes to believe in Jesus Christ. But I love that. We prayed. We prayed. When was the last time that you prayed that the Lord would drive back the enemy from the city of Memphis? That he would defeat the demons of power that seem to have taken so much control in our streets. When was the last time you prayed that the Lord would silence the demons who seem to exist in all realms of our country or in the world? You say, oh, come on, man. You're talking this stuff. Why can't we? Let's get back to Jesus and grace. Okay? Look at the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Jesus Christ looks at this man who is demon-possessed, and He addresses him directly, and He gets the answer from the demons that possess him. He addresses him. He shows him dignity. The man, as in the parallel passage in Luke, tells us that he was naked all the time. He ran about. He wouldn't keep clothing on. He would go about howling in the tombs in the middle of the night. And he would run fiercely at people if they tried to approach him. They tried to chain him up. He would break the chains and whatever ties they had and attack people. And when he wasn't attacking people, he was attacking himself. He was cutting himself. Ever heard of that today? There's a big realm of people out there who do harm to themselves, who have no sense of human dignity about themselves. What about all of these things that are taking place in our world today, where people begin to think of themselves as a different gender, and then they go and they find somebody who will butcher them to make them look like that gender? You don't think that's demonic? It's been going on from the beginning of time. Satan is attacking the world of God and attacking the image of God in humanity. He wants to destroy that. He is real. And he is stronger and smarter than we are. Now, before you start quoting scripture back to me, I'm getting ready to quote it to you. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It is Jesus in us. It is the Holy Spirit's power in us that has the power to defeat evil, to drive back the gates of hell. You know that passage, right? the passage where Peter is confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. And Jesus tells him, he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against that proclamation. Do you know that? So we tend to think that, you know, we can keep hell out of the church, or we can keep hell out of our lives by the power of those gates. No, he's talking about a defensive gate, that we're attacking that gate. It's a military gate. The gates of hell are meant to be defenses for Satan's powers. We assault the gates of hell in prayer and proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get that? But we don't do that in our own strength. We do it under the power of Jesus Christ. Think about those seven sons of the high priest Sceva, or the synagogue ruler, and that they went and they thought, oh, we can do this. We see Paul doing this, and he does this in the name of Jesus. And so let's go. And they begin to do it. And they don't have Jesus. They don't know Jesus. And so they're going at it to see if they can get rid of these demons. And the demon that's in this one man beats them all up, strips them naked, and they run out bruised and broken. Powerful is the name of Jesus Christ. Powerful to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Powerful to defeat Satan and all of his minions. Have you seen the things that are going on? I've had two situations in my life that I know that were encounters with the demonic. Not to be sensational at all. Scared me to death. One was when we were called upon to intervene in a teenager's life who was caught up in a relationship of homosexuality. And I had been talking to him. This was years and years ago. This is while I was still in seminary. And this individual, I had been counseling with him, been talking to him, been praying with him, been going through all these different things, and he could not get away from this older man who had him under his spell. And so he asked if we would go and bring him home to his parents. He hadn't been home to his parents in months. He said, I want to go home. And I said, go home. He said, I can't go home. He's going to be coming here at his workplace. He said, he's going to be coming here tonight. I know he is. And I said, we'll come take you home. And so I went with one of our elders and that wife of one of our elders, and we walked into this retail store where he was working. He was closing up, and we were talking to him, and in walks this man who he's been trying to get away from. And as we're walking out with him, this guy begins to weep and beg as we're going out of the store, publicly, no shame whatsoever, begging him not to leave, don't go. And the elder who was with me put out his hand, and he said, just, you need to back off. And he turned on him, and I'm telling you, the look on his face was like Frodo in the Lord of the Rings when Frodo reaches for the ring. Remember that scene where he turns on him and he goes, it's mine. And there's this angry, furious, evil look. It's exactly what this guy did. Get away from me. And then immediately flip back over to crying again and begging him not to go. That's incident number one. There was another incident where it was much more physical. But listen to me. It's real, folks. In order for the gates of hell to be stormed, it has to be in the power of Jesus Christ. And Jesus really does care about the individuals who are kept under the power of Satan. They're his. They belong to him. not Satan. And he doesn't permit it for long. Listen to what Jesus says. He just says, come out. Go to the pigs. And you see the response of the evil demons. They would much rather be with the pigs than they would be in the face of Jesus Christ. His power. They'd much rather be in the pigs. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that we would see that sort of a hatred for the presence of Jesus and a love for the presence of filth and dirtiness and animals? That's how we are before God changes us. That's how we are. Notice when the people come after they find out about the pigs and those who are the pig herders, whatever that is, when they come and find Jesus and want him to leave, they're begging him to leave. They don't want him there. They're afraid of him now. He just redeemed a man that they have seen every day howling amongst the tombs. He just redeemed him, made him right. He is no longer a threat to them, but they want Jesus to leave. You see, evil does not want any presence with anyone who is controlled by Jesus Christ. He does not want the Lord's presence around them. They don't want that. But notice the man. Notice the man. This is one of those things, as you read it, that you just want to weep. Just want to weep. Go look down in verses 15 through the end there. It says, and they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region, from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. Begged him. Can you imagine? You've just been rescued from all this evil. You haven't been able to sleep well through any night because of the nightmares and the voices that you hear inside of you and around you, the threatening, the fearfulness of all of that. And is now it's gone, and you're looking at the Son of God, and you're begging him, let me go with you. Please let me go with you. And Jesus says, no. 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 Go home to your friends, verse 19. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And then you love the response of the man. He went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Has he done that in you? Has Jesus conquered you? Has he redeemed you? Has he brought you to himself? Has he changed you? Has he given you a heart for him when you used to have a heart that didn't want anything to do with him? Do you proclaim that? That's a little bit not very polite Southern conversation, isn't it? We don't want to talk about those things. You know, we'll talk about Jesus. We'll talk about him in these terms over here, but have you told people what he's done in you? What he's done in you? I remember when I was transferring presbyteries down to Alabama, and they wanted to hear my testimony. I gave them my testimony. I gave them my unvarnished testimony. I shared with them some of the dirt and what the Lord had saved me from. And after I got out of this meeting with these teaching and ruling elders, one of the teaching elders, an older man, came up to me and he said, I really appreciate what you said. He said, I would just be real careful about who I say that around. Folks, why? Why? Why would I be careful about that? He saved me. He rescued me from that. I'm going to tell you what Jesus has done. Do you have a witness of what he has done in you? Tell it. Tell people about it. And see what the Lord might do. He works through his people. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that testimony, please talk to me after the service. Because I'm going to tell you about that Jesus. That he can be yours. He delights in renovating people's lives and making them whole. Do you believe in a demonic existence in this world? What will you do about it? If you don't, just watch the news. It's all around us. And the only hope we have against the gates of hell is the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us and the proclamation of his gospel and the prayers of his people. Let's pray. Almighty God, we see it everywhere. We don't have to imagine what it would be like. We see it. It's in front of our faces. And as you, Lord Jesus, stood there that day with that demon-possessed man, and you simply spoke, and the demons left, we pray for your power to be at work in us in such a way that we would see a change in this world. That we would see a change in our homes. That we would see a change in our neighborhoods. That we would see a change in the city and beyond. Begin in us. Begin, O Holy Spirit of God, in us, driving out the sins that have become comfortable. Be about your work within us, and then be about your work within this world through us. We ask that we would see your power at work. We would see men, women, and children coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and demons running away in fear. We ask it in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.